invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in this same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what connects a funeral? Well, let me first say this question is a bit of a riddle, but it's not a joke and it's not meant to be funny. So what connects a funeral? Well, let me just say a second thing. This question is rhetorical. It's one you can answer within yourself. So just take a moment and see if you come to the same place that I found myself as I contemplated All Saints' Day and this moment in history in which we find ourselves. So what connects a funeral, a contentious election, a pandemic, and a World Series? I'll give you a few seconds to think about that. A funeral, a contentious election, a pandemic, and a World Series. What do they have in common? Well, the answer that came to me as I contemplated the text for the day and the Sunday and this moment of history is loss. Loss. Just look around you. Just look around you this morning. We sense that loss heavy on our hearts these days in many areas of our lives. These are just four that are prominent today. This past week, the Los Angeles Dodgers were crowned the world champions as they won the World Series
you
get my point. In just 2 days, ballot counting will begin to determine the outcome of the 2020 election. Someone will win and someone will lose in every local, state, and federal race. The COVID virus continues to steal the lives of those we love and many lives of people we have never met. Loss of life, loss of income, loss of freedom. And of course, this is All Saints Sunday, All Saints Day. Everyone here or watching online in remembrance of a loved one has experienced loss. The loss of a precious loved one. No one likes to lose. No one likes to lose. In fact, we run from loss, and for good reason. Loss hurts. A child's earliest loss comes in the process of being weaned from its mother, and it hurts losing that connection. Even though it may not be conscious, it hurts when that connection is broken. And so from a young age, we teach our children to win, 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 be a winner. No one wants to have someone give them the L sign. And yet it happens. It happens in schoolyards. It happens in the classroom. It happens through words. It happens through actions. We're all told at some level that we just don't measure up. So we teach our children to win at all costs. And yet loss is such a part of life. Loss is such a part of who we are that parents and teachers and coaches and, yes, even pastors should teach children and adults alike not just how to win, but how to lose. How to lose with grace. And with trust and with hope that goes beyond that moment of loss. And it's important to acknowledge loss. It's important to acknowledge it, to express the pain that it causes and the multitude of emotions that come with it. For if we don't, if we fail to do that, if we bury those emotions, it will come out sideways. It will come out in hurtful ways against family or neighbor or even self. It's important to acknowledge loss as human beings. In the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaches his disciples, and he teaches you and I something about loss. And he teaches us something not only about loss, but something about God. And he teaches us something about loss in connection with God and in connection with that place where God reigns, where God's rule abides. The thing that Jesus is teaching us is that God is with all who experience loss. God is with you, and therefore you are blessed. You see, whether that loss comes willingly or unwillingly, God is with you to help you, to see you through. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus turns the world on its head. I usually think that the opposite of being blessed is cursed. So if God says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn, then the world would say, cursed are those who are poor in spirit, or cursed are those who mourn. But that's not quite right. A better translation in understanding how Jesus in these Beatitudes turns the world upside down is to hear the Beatitudes from the world's perspective as saying the poor in spirit are losers because they will never conquer the world. Those who mourn are losers because they need or depend on others to comfort them. Or the meek. The meek are losers because they will never they will never see victory. Those who hunger and thirst for the godly life, losers. They chase a God who can never be seen. But again, Jesus reverses what the world says. Jesus turns it on its head, and Jesus says, blessed are those losers who are poor in spirit, for they will become, they will inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are those losers who mourn, because I will comfort you. In the Beatitudes, God recognizes loss. God recognizes the pain of that loss. And God makes promises to you and to me and to all who are losers in this life. Jesus not only turns the world upside down, but Jesus goes as far to say this about loss. Whoever preserves or saves his life will lose it, will ultimately become the biggest loser. But whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. You see, God has built loss, surrender, and sacrifice into the formula of a godly life, of a godly discipleship. We see that in Jesus. We see that in the life of Jesus Christ. He won many an argument. He was able to take a question and turn it around on those who were accusing and pointing the finger. But in the end, Jesus lost his life. In the end, Jesus surrendered and sacrificed his life on the cross, taking our sin and our shame upon himself so that we might be set free. And he did that for each one of those for whom we have lit a candle today. He has done that for each of you who are gathered here today. He did that for each of you who are watching online. He did that for the sake of the world, for sinners. For sinners that include the whole human race. And as Jesus lost his life, as he surrendered his life into the hands of the Father 3 days later, victory came. And he rose from the dead to show us that loss will not have the last word. In Jesus' loss, victory came. In Jesus' loss, life found vindication over death. Sin lost, Satan lost, and death lost its grip. In Jesus' loss, resurrection won, life won. And that is a promise to all who lose their life in Christ. And this changes everything. The last youth gathering, the theme was, this changes everything, and it's still true. This resurrection changes everything. It changes how we come to All Saints Sunday. We recognize and we trust that these that we love are not forgotten. Even when we ourselves are dead and gone and unable to light a candle for those who have gone before us, they and we ourselves will not be forgotten. But they and we are loved and held by God for life. We trust that they, in their loss of life, have found eternal life in God. It changes how we win. It changes how we win games. It changes how we win elections. Or if it doesn't, it should. change how we win, not in some arrogant fashion, but humbly knowing that there will be another season when someone else can topple us, or that there will be another election cycle when we ourselves might be voted in or voted out. Win or lose, we are still brothers and sisters with those opponents that we face. It changes how we lose, not with tantrums or violence or threats of mayhem and war. For in this kind of loss, everyone becomes a loser. But with a determination to work with the victor, to struggle in love, even with opponents, to form a more perfect union. It changes how we live in and through a pandemic. In this particular pandemic, we wear a mask not so much for ourselves, but for the most vulnerable in our midst. We choose to lose some freedom for the sake of the other. We refrain from hugging or shaking hands in spite of our deepest desire to connect, to protect the other. Loss hurts. Siblings, while loss hurts, it cannot have the last word in our life. But in losing, we can learn to trust, and we can learn to understand and believe and be assured that God is with us and that God will see us through until that final victory. For as John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, for we are children of God now. We are children of God now. With Jesus, we lose our life, all for the sake of the other. It is in Jesus' victory that we can remain hopeful. We can remain hopeful and hold on to the promise that loss will not have the last word. But one day, Jesus' victory will be ours.